Well, good morning, everybody. My turn now. Hello, darling.
Hi.
Very good. Hey, during that last worship song, we just asking the Lord if there was anything that I could pray for somebody in terms of a word of knowledge. And I immediately had a sense that somebody had quite a problem in their jaw in the form of either an infection or an abscess going on, either under the teeth, bottom jaw, top jaw. And so I just want to pray into that. If that's you, you identify with that, you've got an issue with your jaw, maybe an abscess, which obviously can be very serious, or an infection in the gum in some way that's troubling you, just stretch your hands out to the screen. We're going to pray right now. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for this person that you've identified, all these people you've identified this situation with. In Jesus' name right now, I break the power of that infection. I will release the power of God right now into every person who identifies with this, either this morning or in the days ahead. In Jesus' name right now, I release your healing grace into that jaw to break the power of that infection. In Jesus' name, receive your healing now. In Jesus' name. All pain go, all infection go. We command healing now in Jesus' powerful, powerful name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, right now. Thank you, Lord. As somebody who's, and sometime in the past, there was an aneurysm or a bleed in the brain. And wonderful that you survived that, because we know that obviously some haven't. But there's somebody who's had a bleed in the brain. You might be part of Living Waters Christian Center, or you might be part of somebody who's just, you just stumbled across this live stream, or you're watching this video in the future, or you're one of the ones that tune into Living Waters regularly. Whoever you are, right now, I just want to minister into that. Somebody who's had a brain bleed, maybe a brain hemorrhage, some sort of bleed in the brain, and there's been some ongoing challenges with that. I want to pray into that right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, as I place my hand toward the camera right now, in the spirit, I place my hand on that person or those people's heads right now. And in the name of Jesus, I release your grace and your power. In Jesus' name, I break the power of the trauma off the brain from this bleeding, from the swelling, from the pressure that was put on the brain because of that injury, that situation. In the name of Jesus, I minister your power right now into the brain. Let your fire, the power of the Holy Ghost just touch the brain right now. Touch the skull, touch the lining, touch the arteries, touch the veins, touch the capillaries. In Jesus' name, we thank you for your healing right now. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father, right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Just want to wait on the Lord, see if there's anything else the Holy Spirit just wants to show me in this particular time. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, right now. That's it. I'm going to move on. God bless you. Thanks for staying with us. This morning, I want to share a few thoughts. Obviously, given the context we're in, and but something out of the book of Philippians, or the letter to the Philippians, where the Apostle Paul he's sharing his heart with the Philippians. He's sharing encouragement with them. There's a number of instructions in the Philippines, where Mark and Paul echo, in Philippians that basically talk about how we manage our mind, how we manage our thinking. There's some great truths in there. I'm not focusing on that today so much, but I want to focus on two things that Paul brought out and is sharing with the believers in Philippi, which are relevant for every believer across the world right now, especially in any time of difficulty or trial or uncertainty or waters that we're sailing in that are basically unnavigated. These truths are very powerful. So the bottom line is this, that every believer in Christ has access to incredible resources, amazing resources. We've been looking at some of those through the year, looking at the treasures of our redemption, various things that we have access to through faith in Christ, and the things that Jesus has provided through his atoning death and his resurrection, and also his seating as the great high priest in the right hand of the Father. So we have access to things that the world doesn't actually have access to. Now, that's not trying to be smart. It's just the reality of the provision of God. It's the plan of God that every believer, every follower of Christ would come to deeper and deeper understanding and appreciation of the incredible resources we've been given access to. So the believer has access to powerful resources that give them strength and advantage. And if we connect with those, we're going to gain the benefit of them. So I want to share two amazing resources with you today. Paul the Apostle wrote in the letter to Philippi, the believers in Philippi, as recorded in Philippians chapter 4, verse 10, I'm reading from the New King James Version. Verse 10, it says this, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you care for me." Sorry, I'll read that again. "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity." Verse 11, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." There's a very powerful thought, very powerful understanding there that Paul and all his challenges, all his journey, shipwrecks, being left for dead, being stoned, being raised to life again, all of the incredible things he experienced, he learned in all of those experiences to be content with the state he was in. That's an incredibly powerful statement. It's great. There's a great key in that, that if we could grasp something of that, it's going to help us in this day right now. Because some of us can be very dissatisfied and just angry with the state we're in right now, with the situation we're in right now. And some of that anger is just going to eat us up. It's not going to do anything for anybody else. It's not going to change the government. It's not going to change the world so much. Some of that anger is going to actually eat us up. And so we just need to be mindful of that. There are some things you can do, some things you can change, or some things you just don't really have the power to change. And so you've got to be able to come to terms with where we're at, the state we're in, and some of those things we just have to come to terms with. So verse 12, it says this, "I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." So Paul here is just describing the reality of his life. The reality of his life as an apostle in a very toxic environment, which is very anti the church, very anti the followers of Jesus, both from the Jews, the traditional Jews, the non-Jesus receiving Jews, and also the Roman Empire. And so there was a religious system and a political system that was really pretty antagonistic at times, and to the point of shedding of blood. And so Paul is saying here that he knows how to be abased, he knows how to abound. He's dealing with the reality, talking about the reality of his life. But then he says this incredible statement, this wonderful statement that's been preached up and down the nations. In verse 13, he says this, "And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So that's one of the things I'm going to be talking about a little later on. But in verse 14, he says this, "Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress." And so here Paul is outlining or sharing about or talking about two of the incredible resources that he's received the benefit of. And these things we can receive the benefit of right now, today, in whatever situation we're in. And this was the great comfort. This is what I want to encourage you with. Let's look at the very first thing he starts to talk about briefly. Paul actually starts to talk about the power of believing community. Now, Paul wasn't in the locality where the Philippians were, but he was the recipient of their kindness, of their care, and the benefit, the gifts they gave to him to help support him and perhaps his team. And so Paul had this sense of connection with a community of believers. Later on, I'll mention the fact that there was no other church at the beginning of Paul's ministry that shared with him in the matter of giving and receiving. There was no other church that somehow took Paul into their heart and believed in his calling, believed in his ministry, believed in the mission, and had a great sense of that we're partners in the kingdom. There was no other local church, no other church did that except the Philippians. So they had some understanding that would be great for us to have today. They had a sense of community. They had a sense of mission. They had a sense that regardless of the circumstance, the mission was to continue. And the strength they were able to draw from each other and also communicate to Paul was the fact that they shared. They shared their hearts, they shared their goods, they shared their money, they shared their resources. They shared them not only among themselves, but they shared with Paul. That a sense of community. We have a sense of community. We have a sense of family as a church, as a group of believers. We have a sense of community. People will sometimes come into the gatherings on Sunday, and so one of the things I'll say, I feel like I've come home. I feel like I belong. I've never felt this way before. And that's a very complimentary thing to say. It's actually a dream come true. And so we have the power of community. It's an incredible thing, the power of community. We have the power of community based on a few different key things. Number one, we're in Christ together. Number two, we're brothers and sisters together. Number three, we are all connected in Christ, through Christ, to our Heavenly Father, and we're all sons and daughters of the living God together. Number five, we've been given this incredible mission, this co-mission with Jesus. And it's a co-mission with each other. We've also been drawn into a community that the predominant life force, when it's expressed, is love. And so we have this phenomenal resource that we can connect into called the community of believers, the family of God that we can connect into. COVID lockdowns and all that sort of thing, let's face it. It you can get to a point where you feel a bit isolated. You can feel a bit cut off. You can feel like you're just a bit disorientated. But at the end of the day, we don't have to be. We don't have to allow that to really affect us deeply negatively because we've got community. We may not be able to gather, but we can phone, we can live stream, we can Zoom call, we can walk down the road doing our exercise, stand outside somebody's house and wish them well and pray for them and bless them and just chat and talk and connect, as long as you maintain your distancing and all that sort of thing to follow the rules in case a neighbor's watching, all of those sort of things. But we can still do that. But we're only a phone call away from each other. And a phone call is very powerful. Then, of course, there's a lot of other dimensions of our community. There's the prayer. We can be praying for each other. We can be strengthening each other, with sharing the word with each other, with encouraging each other, with sharing funny things on Facebook, little clips that make us laugh, you know. I'm not too sure about that joke earlier, Janet, but anyway. Things that we can laugh. And so we've got community, and that is so powerful. But here's the other thing that Paul talked about. But before we move on to that, I just want to mention this one thing. When we are active participators, we are involved in a multi-dimensional flow. I'll read that again. When we are active participators in the family of God, in the kingdom of God, in the things of God, the things of the Spirit, we are involved in a multi-dimensional flow. There's a flow from heaven, and there's a flow from heaven through others to us. There's this giving and receiving. There's the sharing. There's this praying. There's this believing. There's this encouraging. There's this resourcing. There's this lifting each other up. There's this holding each other's arms up. There's this praying for each other and ministering to other when we're ill. There's all of these dimensions that flow in the family of God. It's incredibly powerful. It gives us an incredible advantage over the world that doesn't know Jesus, that doesn't know the Lord. But at the end of this little talk this morning, I'm going to give you the opportunity to make the most powerful decision you could ever make in your life, and that's to receive the Lord Jesus as your own personal Savior. That's going to be so powerful. It's going to change your life for some of you. And so when we're active participators in the kingdom of God and the family of God, we're involved in a multi-dimensional flow. But if we are just consumers, if we're only consumers, and the world is full of consumers, the West is full of consumers. If we are consumers only, then it's really just a one-way flow. We actually have a much lesser flow of provision and strength and resourcing into our lives if we are only consumers. When you think of the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15, he came home to get his belly fed. He came home as a consumer. But when his father met him and embraced him, and the mercy flowed and the forgiveness flowed and the being wrapped up in the father's love, and then quickly God had him robed with the robe and put the ring on his finger, shoes on his feet. God actually was turning him away from just being a consumer back to being a full participator in what the father was all about. Isn't that? I just love that. So if we're only a consumer, we're only involved in a very narrow, very shallow flow. Today, I encourage you not just to be a consumer, but to be a person who's a giver, a partner, a relator, an encourager, a blesser, so that you have a great flow flowing out of you as well. Then there's Paul's second strength. So there's Paul's second strength that he mentions, as I said earlier, in verse 13. And this could occupy the preaching for the rest of our lives in many respects. But in verse 13, we have this amazing statement that Paul makes, and it's born out of his experience and revelation and understanding. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, we know the context of that is just what he'd been talking about. It's not talking about so much whether you want to be a brain surgeon or an astronaut. It's not so much talking about that. If you want to be one, go for it. But what he's talking about is the things he walked through in life, the things he learned, the things he abounded in, and the things that were tough for him to endure. But he says this, he said this, he came to this conclusion. I can do all things. Some translations say, I can do all these things through Christ who strengthens me. So Paul drew strength from the community of believers, and he grew great strength from Christ within him. So there are times when no doubt Paul didn't have much access to a community of believers because of there was no Facebook, no. There were probably pigeons, and there were people who ran with mail, and there were people who might have gone on journeys who would take letters with them, but it was all very slow, totally different world to what we're living in now. And so there would have been times when he would have actually felt potentially physically, in terms of people, relatively isolated, whether it was in a Roman prison, whether it was house arrest, whatever the situation was. But he knew how to draw strength. He knew how to be strengthened with Christ within. And that's the huge advantage every believer in Christ has. Because when you come to Christ, the Spirit of God himself actually joins himself with your spirit, your inner man, your eternal being. He joins himself with you. You become born again, or born from above, as some translations say. So you are strengthened, and you have this resource within that is Christ within. That is God's power. That is God's goodness. That is God's righteousness within. That's God's resources within. Not only that, but we can also be clothed in power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, and we have great power that can flow through our lives and strengthen us. So we have incredible advantage compared to those who don't know Christ. And so Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I want to tell you this. We can do this. We can journey this. We can endure this through Christ who strengthens us. Christ is with you. He is in you. He is available to you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you if you're in Christ. And if you're not in Christ yet, he is literally right close to you, and he is here for the asking. He's here for the turning. All he wants you to do is turn your heart toward him, turn your attention toward him, turn away from the pride, the arrogance, the independence, the disbelief, and just turn your heart to him, and just simply in your heart just say, Lord, just forgive me of all my sin. Come into my life and transform me. Come into my life and be my life and be my strength. I give my life to you. He'll give his life to you. So powerful. Last thing as we wrap this up. In Colossians verse 1, chapter 1, sorry, verse 26 to 27, New King James Version again. I mentioned this, I think, a couple of weeks ago. Verse 26 of Colossians chapter 1. And Paul is talking about this mystery that has been kept hidden for generations, for ages, that people have not understood. But now he's saying that this mystery that God has had secret has now been revealed. And it's for every person who would believe. He says the mystery, verse 26, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. Verse 27, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery to the Gentiles. So in other words, he's saying, look, this secret, this mystery, this incredible privilege is now being revealed to us, the Gentiles, those who are not born Jews. And this is the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Another translation says, the hope of realizing his glory, the hope maybe of experiencing his glory, the hope of releasing his glory. What is his glory? His glory is his goodness. Jesus was the glory of God manifest, the outraying of God's glory, Hebrews says, Hebrews 1. And so we have this glory, we have this Christ, we have the strength, we have the eternal God actually now in Christ living within us. So Paul drew on that strength. We can draw on his strength because he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. His strength and his power is able to be accessed by us. And not only that, his power works in us to do and to do according to the will of God. So we have these two incredible advantages. We have a community of believers we're engaged in. And if you're not, become engaged. Become engaged in a community of believers. Number two, we have this incredible advantage of having Christ in us. That even if we can't get to a building, we can't get to a tent, we can't get to a house meeting, we actually have Christ in us. We are the temples of the Holy Ghost. We can have our own worship time right where we are. We can have our own, we can go right to the throne of grace right where we are. That gives us massive advantage. And so as I've shared those few things, I hope it's just perhaps stirred your thinking, stirred your, maybe helped redirect some of your thinking, maybe lifted a bit of hope, maybe even stirred your faith a little, or maybe has caused you to become curious to look into the scriptures more yourself. And so I want to say this, that when I was 19, I had an encounter with Jesus, the risen Son of God. I was a churchgoer. I went to church on Sundays. I went to Bible school, which was equivalent to the youth group. And I knew about God. I knew about Jesus, but I'd never encountered him personally myself. But when I was 19, I was in a situation where somebody was preaching the gospel, preaching some aspect of the word of God, and there was an invitation to come and open your heart to Christ and receive him as your Lord and Savior. And I did that. I felt stirred inside. I knew that there was a threshold I needed to cross over, that there was a decision I needed to make, that I couldn't pretend any longer. And so I made a decision to respond to that opportunity for prayer. And I went to the front. You can't come to the front now, but you can still pray with me. And when I got prayed for, when I followed through in prayer with that man who led me through in that prayer, asking for God to forgive me of all my sin, which he did, to come into my heart, to come into my life and be my Lord and Savior, that absolutely, totally happened. I met the Lord Jesus Christ. I met Jesus personally, and he was more real and still is more real to me than anybody else was that was in that room. And there was 50 to 100 people in that room that day. Jesus was more real to me than anybody in that room. And the reality of him being my Savior and my Lord, my best friend, has never left me. May not have been that level of intensity at times, but I know that the consciousness of his presence with me and his love for me has never left me. And so I want to invite you today to have a living hope take up residence in you, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ for yourself. Would you do that? If you're willing to do that, I'd love you to either stretch out your hand or do whatever, kneel down in front of you, whatever seems appropriate to you to take a posture of openness to the Lord. And I'm going to invite you to pray with me. And the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit will take you very, very at your word. He's right here, right now. He's right in the room with you right now. So would you pray with me? Father, I thank you today. Just pray after me. Father, I thank you today that your love for me is so secure. Jesus, you died for me and you rose again from the dead. I don't understand it all, but in my heart right now, I open the door to you. I ask you to come into my life. Forgive me of all my sin, all of my rebellion, all of my pride and arrogance. Forgive me, Lord. And Lord, as I receive your forgiveness now, I receive you into my life and I give you my life. Father, I ask you right now to fill me with your Spirit. Thank you for making me your child. I belong to you. I am yours. Help me follow Jesus all the days of my life. And thank you for giving me eternal life right now. Lord, help me connect with your family that I can have the benefit, like Paul did, of being part of your family, part of your community, and have Christ within me. Open your word up to me, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that with me, I just want to thank you so much. You've just prayed the greatest prayer. You've just done the greatest thing that you can actually ever do in your life in terms of your turning toward God. The word says that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. So you've come into faith today. And that faith, as you exercise it and read the scriptures and just talk and pray to your Heavenly Father, that faith will grow. I'd love you to connect with us. I think there's going to be an indication of how you can connect with us. Come up on the screen. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to be able to connect with you, send you things that can help you. And then once lockdown comes off, we can get together in the church and meet each other and become part of the family. God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us today. We count it a privilege to be able to minister to you in some way. God bless you, Living Waters. I think, Janet, have you got something to share now? I'll hand you back to Janet. God bless.
Hi, guys. And I was commenting on there, but because I'm admin with Living Waters, and some of my comments were coming up as Living Waters comments. So anyway, finally I sorted it out, so there I appeared. But anyway, just a cool testimony came on. Lisa Mead, you commented, I just want to read what you said. My jaw has been painful for 4 to 5 days, so much that I couldn't eat on the left side. I don't feel any pain now. Well, come awesome. On, isn't it wonderful?
Thank you, Lisa. That's really encouraging.
Yeah, thank you, Lisa, for sharing that. And you know, if you've still got any of those conditions in your body, even right now, you've just heard that story. You have just heard Lisa's testimony. Take a hold of it now. Lay your hand on your face, or just lay hand on your body and just believe God's power just touching you right now.
Yeah, come on.
So it's so good. And I'm not sure. Did you say anything about offering, Wes? I'm not sure.
Oh, you did. Of course, I forgot.
Yeah.
Well, how do you do that now?
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, and obviously for those of you who are part of Living Waters, many of us actually give by automatic payment online. So, you know, it just keeps happening. And that's fantastic. That really contributes to the stability of the financial flow of the church. But there are maybe others who just want to give today. You just want to, you just feel you just want to share, you want to be like the Philippians to Paul, you want to help fund or bless the ministries of Living Waters and all the people who are supported and on staff and so on, and you just want to contribute. So there's giving directions online. Go to that web address and you'll be able to do that. So Father, we thank you now for all of those, all who have given today, either by automatic payment on banks, direct credit, or by going online and giving online. Father, we thank you that we're giving to you and we're honoring you. We're putting you first. And we thank you, Lord, for the mission and the co-mission you've invited us into. We thank you, Lord, for releasing your blessing on our lives into every household of an abundant flow of provision. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all.
Amen.